Love is who God is. It's His nature. It's His character. He has to put His love in us.
Educators, television executives, Hollywood film producers. Everyone has an opinion about what love is, and almost everybody is wrong. Hi, I'm Dave Dino. Today on The Time, Pastor Dwayne Potiker will do away with opinion and conjecture, and he'll take an in-depth look at the truth. God is love, and God has plenty to say about who He is. Today's message kicks off in just a few moments, but first let's join Dwayne for a few opening comments. Dwayne, I don't think that there's any question that the media has enough power to mold and shape public opinion. But in your opinion, how has the media changed our corporate definition of love?
Dave, I think it's made love something that's shallow, it's cheap, it's noncommittal. It has made it something that is simply how I feel, and how I feel today especially. I may feel like I love you today. I may feel like I don't love you tomorrow. So it has nothing to do with commitment. It doesn't look long-term down the road. Love, according to the Bible, is a decision that I make. And 1 Corinthians 13 is a great definition of what love really is.
Why do you think so many people find it so difficult to love others?
Well, first, Dave, I don't think we understand what true love really is. It's because of what we've grown up to believe that love is. Love is not meeting our feelings, our emotions, our genuine need for love. And so people are left empty, and they are going around in search of something to fill that emptiness. The only one that can genuinely fill that need for real love is God. And when we start putting other things in place of that, we are left with unmet feelings, unmet needs.
Perhaps one of the reasons we struggle to love others is that we really don't know what love is. Dwayne's message today can help. Let's join him for his message titled, A Lesson on Love.
Well, as you are aware, we are in a series entitled A Journey with John, and as a working title some weeks ago, I had put together a title and called it The Lavish Love of God. Because as I stepped into chapter 3 of 1 John, if you turn with me there, you'll see what he says in chapter 3. He really gets into this concept of the lavish love. He says in chapter 3, verse 1, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children, what? Of God. That we should be called the children of God. He says, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Well, I just want to pause there for a moment. What incredible love. A man was trying to read, and his little girl kept interrupting him. She would lean against his knees and say, Daddy, I love you. The father would pat her on the shoulder or put his hand on her head and he'd say, I love you too, honey. Well, after a while, the little girl would come back to her father and say, Daddy, I love you. And she'd jump into his lap and she'd put her arms around his neck and say, Daddy, I love you so much. I've got to do something about it. She just had to show her love to her daddy. Well, you see, God's love was so strong that as He looked at us, man and woman in His creation, He said, I love you so much. I have to do something about the situation that I see you in. You've fallen, you've sinned, you now are slaves and entrapped to the enemy who has turned against the kingdom of God and turned against me. I love you so much, I have to do something about it. And He reached out His hands and He put His arms around us. And He died for us that we could be forgiven. Jason Tusk was a 17-year-old honor student. He was very close to his mother, his wheelchair-bound father, and his younger brother. Now, Jason was an expert swimmer. He was a scuba diver. And one Tuesday morning, he left home to explore an underwater cave near his house in West Central Florida. His plan was to be home in time to celebrate his mother's birthday by going out for dinner that evening. But unfortunately, while Jason was searching down around in the water, he got into a watery cave And apparently he got wedged or stuck down in there, or for some reason he couldn't find his way out. And when he realized that he was trapped, the story says that he took off his tank, his air tank, and he wrote on his air tank this message to his family: "I love you, Mom, Dad, and Christian." Then apparently he ran out of air and he drowned. Those were the last known words or message that Jason left behind. "I love you, Mom, Dad, Christian." I think of the last words of Christ when he's hanging there on the cross, looking down on those individuals who had mocked and scorned and cried, "Crucified," and there was such a cry of love in his heart that he said, "Oh, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Have you ever stopped to ponder, to think, to reflect on the love of God, on what He did for us? Have you gotten to the place where you recognize it's too much for our minds to comprehend? John points out several points for us to consider as we think about the love of God. It is a lavish love. That's the word for the day, lavish. You see, lavish literally means abundance, extending or bestowing profusely. It is the opposite of being sparing or sparse. You know, if you lavish on a dish of ice cream to somebody, you get the picture? It's not one little dip in the bowl. You're just piling it on. You're heaping on. You're giving them a lavish helping of ice cream. You had to swallow. Your mouth was watering, wasn't it? Well, let's take a look at some insights here on the lavish love of God. It's John's insights about love. We read from John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, the first two verses. I want you to know it is an incredible, marvelous, magnificent, lavish love of God. "While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Oh, the awfulness of sin. How could God do that? He told us not to sin. He warned us not to sin. We've heard it over and over. And yet His love pursues us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, notice with me that in this declaration, in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 2, it is a declaration. It's not a think so, hope so, maybe so. He said, we should be called what? The children of God. That's not a hope so thing. That's a declaration from the throne of God. Psalm 100 verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever." Psalm 103 verse 8, "The Lord is slow to anger, abounding in love." One person said, "God's love is like the Amazon River flowing to one flower." Could you imagine? Maybe I'll give you this picture. God's love is so much, so strong, so powerful, it's like trying to get a sip at a water, at a fire hydrant. It's just, He's got so much coming out. C.S. Lewis said, "He loved us not because we were lovable, but because of His love." Amen? God loves us not because of who we are, but because of who He is. Well, a second thing I want you to notice is in chapter 4. If you turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7, notice with me what it says. "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from" who? God. I want you to notice, secondly, God is the source of all love. Now, you and I cannot create love. You see, love is who God is. It's His nature. It's His character. He has to put His love in us. And the more we know Him, the more we walk with Him, the more we talk with Him, the more of Him that is in us, guess what? The more love of God will be in us, and it will come out of us. If God is the source of love, guess what? We have to keep going back to Him and keep asking for fresh fillings and being in His presence, that we get filled up with His love, so we go out into a world that is so full of hatred and disgust and violence and isolation, that we can share the love of God with people all around us. Psalm 33 verse 5 says, "The earth is full of His unfailing love." But it's not being demonstrated in humanity, it's demonstrated in His creation. Psalm 36 verse 5 says, "Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens." Amen. Well, I want you to notice verse 21. 1 John 4 and verse 21. Look what He says in this passage. "And He has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother." So the next thing I notice about this lesson of love is we are commanded to love others. Now, when John says we must love others, he's saying we must demonstrate it. It's not just adequate to have an intellectual consent to a reality. "Well, I love you." You know, we sometimes give people a handshake or a hug. I love you. He's talking about a love that is lived out. It is demonstrated in the way we act, what we do. An old woman was noticed as she was picking up something and putting it in her apron in a marketplace. A policeman watched her actions suspiciously, and several times he saw her stoop down and pick something up and put it in her apron. Finally, he went up to her with a gruff voice and threatening in a manner to, you know, demand what was going on. He said, "What are you carrying off in your apron?" The timid woman did not answer at first, whereupon the officer, thinking that she must have found something valuable, threatened to arrest her. The woman opened her apron and revealed pieces of broken glass and said, "I just thought I would like to take these out of the way so children did not cut their feet." What was she doing? She was demonstrating through her acts of kindness a love for those that she didn't even know. You see, there are ways for us to obey the command to love others. All we have to do is to begin to look. For God's word tells us, we are given this command, whoever loves God must love his brother. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, "For Christ's love compels us." You see, when his love is in us, we can't stop it. It comes out. And so if love isn't coming out, maybe it's because we don't have love coming in. Let's ask God to pour his love in us, so that it will then flow out of us. At best, all we are is conduits. Whatever is poured in is what comes out. Scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So let God pour in us his love so that he can compel us. I think on your outline today, there's a reference there to Matthew 7:12, which basically says this: we are to do for others what we want others to do for us. So if there's any question, if you're not quite sure how to live out this command, just start thinking of things that you like other people to do for you. And it becomes a to-do list of things you can start doing for others. I would like you to notice with me, as we consider the next point, verses 12 and then 16. Verse 12 says, "No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." Verse 16. "And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him." The fourth thing I see in this lesson from John about love is that genuine love is a sign of genuine salvation. He said, whoever lives in love, God's love lives in him. He's saying that they go together. You can't separate them. You can't break them apart. A little girl was asking her mother questions on the way home from Sunday school one Sunday morning. "Mommy, is God bigger than me?" "Yes, honey." "Mommy, but the teacher said God's supposed to live inside in my heart." "Oh, yes, honey, he is. But Mommy, I don't understand. If God's bigger than me and he's supposed to live inside of me, isn't some of him supposed to be sticking out?" Yes. He is supposed to be sticking out. He's supposed to be shining out through what we do. And a sign of genuine salvation is that the love of God that He pours in us is going to be sticking out in what we do, in sharing with other people. A bell is not a bell till you ring it. A song is not a song till you sing it. Love in your heart isn't put there to stay. God gives you love to give it away. Next thing I want you to notice in these lessons from John about love is in 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. Verses 9 through 10. Follow with me. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Notice there what He's indicating. Real love takes the initiative. It steps out. It doesn't wait for some response. It takes the initiative. A Christian German by the name of Wolfgang was a committed believer. And at work, he would often take his Bible and he would read it over his lunch break, even though his co-workers teased and mocked him. He decided that he would somehow try to show the love of Christ to his fellow workers. And so when the workers went home at night, they would leave their muddy boots at their workplace. Wolfgang decided that he would wash and clean and polish their boots every day after work. At first, the men were amazed. They were puzzled how their boots were getting cleaned every day. They didn't understand. And as they began to talk among themselves who would do this, they realized there was only one person in that area employed there who would even consider doing that. It had to be Wolfgang. They were baffled by what he was doing. But the amazing thing was, they began to come to him not to tease, but to sit with him at lunch and to hear him read the scriptures that were changing his life, that were filling him with love. What little things can we do in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, wherever we might go, that somehow demonstrates the love of God? That can take a scenario like Wolfgang, where he was being mocked and teased, and actually make it a platform of ministry where people come and say, I don't know what it is about you, but I want to know more about what it is. And we have the opportunity to share. It is the love of God inside of me that compels me to do this. The Christian life is like a window through which others can see Jesus. A poor young Christian boy was forced to beg on the streets of his village. One day the boy was being teased by a wealthy atheist's son. He said, if God really loves you, why doesn't He get better care of you? Why doesn't He tell some of those other believers to give you a pair of shoes? And sadly, the poor boy looked back and replied, I think He does tell people, but they don't listen. And you know, I think God does tell us. His Spirit does speak to us about how we're to live and what we're to do. But sadly, often the truth is we choose not to listen. We don't want to hear because it takes us out of our comfort zone. Jesus calls us to take up our cross. He calls us to deny ourselves so that we can be followers of Him. There are more people that want to be loved than those who are willing to love. I think if we'll simply take the risk and step out to love, it will be received because we're all hungry for love. We want to be loved. The next thing I notice on this lesson from love from John is in 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. He says, in this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment because in this world we are like Him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love dries out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. I want you to notice that there is peace, comfort, and confidence in love. Now, you know something? There is one thing that I have never had to worry about in my relationship, in my marriage with Rhonda. I have never had to worry as to whether she is flirting or whether she loves me or not. And because of that, there is an incredible peace, there is an incredible comfort, there is confidence, there is a sense of real love. Even though I may not know where she is, if the van's not home, when I go home, she's not there, I don't have to wonder if she's out flirting or in, you know, in somebody else's arms. There's a total sense of confidence. Real love brings peace, comfort, and confidence. And when we are in a real love relationship with God, there is a confidence that comes with Him. There's a peace. There's a security. I don't have to worry. I know He's got my life in control. God wants us to walk in that kind of intimate love with Him. One more thought for the day on these lessons from love from John. 1 John chapter 4, verses 19 through 21. We love because He first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, but hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And He has given us this command, whoever loves God must love his brother. What I see in this thought is, love is the litmus test of our spiritual lives, of our spiritual status. If you say that you know God and that you love God, but you don't love other people, friends, it doesn't compute. There's a problem. There's a deception in there somewhere. You cannot say that you love God, but then not love others. According to scriptures, that's impossible. Now, you might be able to say it with your mouth, but it's not true. You see, the nearer we draw to God in our love for Him, the more we are united with each other. Dorotheus of Gaza said, the nearer we draw to God in our love for Him, the more we are united together by love for our neighbor. The greater our union with our neighbor, the greater is our union with God. So if our union with God breaks down, our union with other people begins to break down. And if my union with other people begins to break down, my union with God begins to break down. They work together. That's God's plan.
Dwayne said something today I think deserves special, special emphasis. He said, genuine love is a sign of genuine salvation. Let's examine ourselves today to see if we're obeying the only two commandments that really matter, love God and love others. Now let's join Dwayne and our director Don Schenck for some final thoughts.
Dwayne, last week you talked about the cost of following Christ. Now, when we think of God's love, we usually think of it as a gift or a blessing. On the other hand, when we think about intentionally loving other people, and I'm talking about beyond our immediate family and close friends, we often begin to think of some costs, things like time, effort, emotional involvement, maybe possessions, you know, all kinds of things that might come into play as we try to reflect God's love to others. Any advice to help us see beyond these costs so that we can obey God's command to love our neighbors as ourselves?
I think the first thing that I would say is kind of repeat the idea or remind us that love is a decision. Love is not a feeling. It is a choice that we make in response to what we understand God's word to say to us. As we make that step, as we make ourselves available and take a risk to step out to love others, I believe we begin to feel the joy and fulfillment that comes from obeying and serving God. And I want to make it clear, we don't feel that prior to taking the step. It only begins to flow through us as we're in the process. Then we've become that conduit where we feel and sense God's love actually moving to that other person. That's where we begin to feel the joy.
Well, thank you for that additional insight. Dwayne, before we close, let's share from some letters that we've received from Panama. That's a country where we have neighbors with whom God has called us to share His love. I'll read one here. It says, it is with joy that I drop these few lines to let you know that the tide has been a source of blessing and encouragement to me and my family. Each time I listen to your programs, I feel convicted of the Holy Spirit and thank God for you.
Don, here's one from Panama. It says, I listened to your gospel broadcast on Radio Newspaper Panama, and I was blessed. I began to search for Jesus Christ. I found out that my life was empty without Jesus. Since I heard your program, I have never been the same. I know Jesus Christ died for my sins. Thank you for preaching on the radio newspaper.
One more before we go. I enjoy listening to your program on radio here in Panama. Let me tell you that now I am feeling like a born-again child of God. You have given me some hope, despite a troubled world. Now I am gaining happiness from accurate Bible knowledge of God. Thanks for bringing me closer and closer to the Word of God and bringing the gospel to my doorstep.
Don, that's exciting to get these kind of letters and know that, in fact, people's lives are not only being touched, but they're being changed by the gospel message. I want to take this opportunity to thank those of you who have partnered with us in ministry here at The Tide, those who are praying for this outreach, and those who are supporting us financially. If you have joined us today and have never before partnered with us in this radio ministry, I invite you to participate with us in sharing God's love with others. What Jesus Christ has done in your life, He also wants to do in the lives of all people around the world. Now, we may not be able to travel to the ends of the earth, but thank God we can carry the message by radio. We at The Tide thank God for what He's doing, and we thank God for you, who are partners with us, to take the radio ministry of The Tide to the shores worldwide.
Duane, before we sign off for today, there is one more letter from Panama that I'd like to share with our listeners. A woman wrote, God bless you. Congratulations for your programs. I'm writing you because I've been listening to your programs, and I feel edified when I listen to them. The reason I started to listen to your broadcast is that I have an interest to learn English, but now it has changed to become aware of the faith of Jesus. Now, the reason I wanted to share this letter today is that not only does it represent a life that's been changed by God's love, but I also see it as a wonderful example of how God can take a person's plans and convert them to His own purpose. Spanish is the official language of Panama, but The Tide is broadcast there in English. Here was a Spanish woman who began listening to our program to improve her English, and through that, God was able to touch her heart with His love and lead her to faith in Jesus Christ.
It's always good to be reminded of the lives that God is touching through The Tide, and to be encouraged by our partners who make our broadcast possible. If you'd like to make a donation to help spread God's love in places like Panama, let me encourage you to call us today toll-free at 1-877-859-5484. Here it is again, 1-877-859-5484. Now, as always, today's program, A Lesson on Love, is available for a gift of any size. To receive your copy on audio cassette or CD, call us and ask for program number 0439. You can call us toll-free at 1-877-859-5484. Or send your request to us at The Tide, P.O. Box 399, Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, 17201. To find out more about The Tide Ministry, or to hear an encore presentation of today's program, please visit our website at www.gospeltide.org. You know, for the past few weeks, we have been taking a journey with the Apostle John, and Duane concludes this series next week with his compelling message, To Know That You Know. So join us for this fascinating and necessary message from the book of 1 John. Until then, I'm Dave Dino, thanking you for tuning into The Tide, touching hearts on shores worldwide.